And welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. It's Thursday afternoon. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Sello, Matt Scraby, another edition of Gwynn and Chris. And a little bit more to talk about today on this Thursday than there has been the previous 2 days.
If there was anything, it would be more than yesterday.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Chris Sello back in the building. Matt Scraby has never left. He's still here as well. Ted Leitner will be in the building. Well, not in the building. He'll be on the airwaves as he'll join us in the 2 o'clock hour. We got a 30-mile zone in the 3 o'clock hour. Big Five. We also have a Super Bowl fantasy draft that we're going to go through in the 5 o'clock hour. Should be a lot of fun. Chris, travel safe back home?
Yeah, everything's good.
Clearly, you're here. So
kids got a victory last night, and we get to go for ice cream after the game. Sometimes I feel like I'm like, you know, 8 years old.
Are you being serious?
I'm being serious.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
just a bus shows up to the ice cream store?
Yeah, when they win, the kids demand ice cream on the road.
I love
it. The bus pulls up. Last night it was a Foster's Freeze. Have you ever been to one of those?
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
yeah, Foster's Freeze is great.
And the poor kids that are working in there, they think they've got their night made.
They're like, oh, we're almost done. Psych!
29 people come rolling through the door.
Oh, I know y'all got some attitude for
sure. Yeah, they're not. They're working their butts off back there. But, the team is 8-2 on the road this year, which is packing on an extra pound or two. I have to work a little harder on my SD fat loss to combat it. But
I'm sure ice cream's not on that list there.
Probably not on the SD fat loss list, no. But good for them. They got a nice win. The men were off this week and, ready to go here today, back home. So yeah, we're good.
The Lady Aztecs been on a nice little run here as of late after kind of hitting a little rough patch there. They've kind of gotten it back together. As Chris said, the Aztecs off this week. They're back in action next week. There is some Padre news today, and we kind of went over it yesterday. The head of chair for the Padres.
Control person. Right.
Was up for MLB approval. Now, that's not unusual. Whenever there's a change at that spot, the MLB owners have to vote on it.
Yeah.
They did so unanimously. And so, you know, in terms of how MLB sees it, John Seidler is the new head of the San Diego Padres.
Yeah.
And really, that's it. In terms of how MLB sees it, this has nothing to do with the actual court case that is in the
system.
I'm
wondering if this might be, you know, a good thing in the sense that at least as we look at it as the fans, we now know who the point person is. It's John Seidler. And, you know, apparently the buck is going to start and end with him in terms of, you know, running this franchise or at least representing this franchise.
Right.
That's probably a better way to say it. You know, but I think a lot of us perceive that all of these court cases and things have created a little confusion in terms of, you know, where would A.J. Preller go? Where who do we talk to? And, you know, these are all perceptions that we have. We're not there. But I think this gives us the perception now that, you know what, somebody is the point person. Somebody's in charge. That's the perception we'll have. I think it'll be honestly kind of nice and settling for the fan base to feel like there's somebody at the top.
Yeah,
like for now.
I don't know how the fan base is going to take it one way or the other.
Well, that's how I'm taking it, and I'm telling the rest of the fan base to take it the same way.
Hopefully they listen. Maybe they do, maybe they
won't.
Don't. MLB sees it this way, and so we'll let all the other stuff play out. But in terms of how Major League Baseball sees it, John Seidler is the new head of San Diego Padres. Now, what does that mean in terms of spending? I don't know that it means anything.
Yeah.
That will be determined as we move down the line.
Do we think we're going to hear from him to talk about stuff maybe at spring training?
Spring training? I don't know. That would be a good question.
Because I think
all you have to do is walk up
to...
and ask him if he'd like to come on the show, Scrabe. I mean, you are a producer of a major
guys,
sports talk show. Top 20, I might
that
add.
Is,
Should
that
I
is
admit
falling,
that I don't that, even know what he looks like?
That's fair.
That's fair.
I've never seen a picture of him, honestly.
Okay.
But
well, that'd be tough for you to go up and ask.
But as, yes. as a producer, a little research on your part might be
I can't actually
it
go.
It is in the realm.
Yes, I will look up a picture. I can't actually go ask him though, because I got to go to the Padres PR because I want to work with them in the right
that's,
way.
That's the right way to do it. That's they're certainly the right way to do it. Now the other thing that I don't actually believe was. A real factor for a couple of reasons. I know one of the things that Shill had mentioned, Shill Seiler had mentioned in the her
the original lawsuit.
The lawsuit was that there had been plans, some type of plans for relocation. Now immediately
that got everybody a little scared.
That did immediately. Yeah. I believe it was John Seiler came out and said, "Not true." Like
that's just
that
not
was
true.
The first thing I think he
they squashed that immediately.
Immediately,
yes, they did.
For those who may have still been worried about it, it was also reiterated during this meeting that that is not in the plan. So Padres are going nowhere.
And, I believe Rob Manfred confirmed that in a way that only Rob Manfred can.
Great market with great facility.
Great market. Outstanding drinking establishments close to the ballpark.
I really like the Ballast Point beer.
The near the gas lamp is incredible, guys.
We're never getting Rob Manfred on this show.
Poor Rob Manfred. The guy probably hasn't even had a drink in 10 years, and yet we make him out to be Harry Carey on this show.
I don't know
show.
If it was that was all our doing. I mean, the sound system in Texas that day didn't,
that's what
didn't,
do, yeah. didn't do I titled our YouTube today, Padres Aren't Moving Anywhere, and it's caused some sort of confusion in the chat, but it was said at one point it was alleged.
And that's what I'm saying. It was never really, it didn't catch any legs because cold water was poured on it immediately after. So that's all we
But the, the fact that somebody's bringing it back up today is going to alert a few people who are going to say, well, why are we even talking about it at all?
Exactly.
But we are talking about it because Rob Manfred did reference it today. And, you know, so that's just more... more proof.
All right, that's all.
We're not going.
That's
anywhere.
All we got on that's the Padre it. Side of things.
I have an answer about John Seiler. He was not at the meetings and not available for comment.
What answer? What was the question?
If he's going to speak.
You said it's spring training.
Yeah, but I was thinking maybe he would do it at the winter or the owners' meetings as well. But we'll wait.
We will wait to find out. There has been some baseball news. It's pretty significant baseball news. Pete Alonso, no longer
I saw that
on
one.
The board. Goals.
Yeah, he wasn't on our board anyway.
He wasn't.
Right?
He wasn't.
We haven't even mentioned him as a possibility.
No, and listen, I'm certainly not bringing this up because I thought he was on our board. I'm just we don't. There's some baseball news, and we just want to get it to you. Pete Alonso, who has been out there quite a bit, ends up signing a 2-year deal.
Re-signing with the Mets.
2-year deal with the New York Mets. Guarantees him $54 million.
No pressure on the Mets, but I mean they've spent a lot of money. This offseason, nobody seems to be complaining about it.
Nope.
You're right. The Dodgers get all of the flack for spending money and
Mets
building
right
this
there.
Super team. Here, the Mets have added Juan Soto, Pete Alonso, who was there, but I get that, but they had to pay him again. They've put Francisco Lindor on that team by trade.
They brought back Mania on a nice little deal.
The Mets
as well.
Are stacked.
They got a good squad. It's a team that because of the Dodger splash moves has not really been talked about.
No, they've gotten away with it scot free.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but remember, they were in the NLCS, were they not? Losing to
they got spanked.
Who's
the Dodgers?
The Dodgers.
They got spanked.
They got spanked.
Yeah.
There's that. Pete Alonso off the board. Tommy Pham, former Pod. One of my favorite pods.
I know he's one of your favorites.
He signed back with Pirates.
You know when that's
Scraby likes to
when Tommy Pham sits and signs autographs somewhere, there's two lines. The first line is people that like Tommy Pham. And the other line, which is a really, really long line, is those who don't like Tommy Pham.
Is there a long line? Is that factual?
You're in the short line.
Shouldn't it tell
you said
something?
He's one of your favorite Padres. I don't think anybody out there would say that.
Shouldn't it tell us something about Tommy Pham that every single year he's jumping around to whatever team's willing to sign him? Like, why doesn't a team say, hey?
Well, because he's old.
You're good enough to at least get a spring training invite. You don't have to go find a team. Is this a major league contract?
I don't know. Let's find out.
Because,
I think it was five million.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So he's going to be playing. Obviously, Tommy Pham was that thought.
I think he was with two teams last year, the Royals, and then they traded him near the trade deadline to somebody. I can't honestly remember where he finished up.
Then the Cardinals, then another team.
He did go three.
I think he ended up with the Royals. Actually,
I mean, he's moved around, Tommy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's a good enough player to make teams every year, but he's not a good enough player
to keep
through
an offseason. There's certain guys like that, though.
He's only really struggled here in San Diego. Everywhere else he's been productive.
Yeah, last year he was with the White Sox at the beginning.
White Sox, that was the first team.
And then he went to the Cardinals for a quick moment, and you're right, Tony, finished with the Royals. Year before that, he was with the Mets and the Diamondbacks.
And he was with the Reds. That was the World Series Diamondback team that he got hot on.
And he got hot right at the end. And then he was on the Reds and the Red Sox before that. So in the last 3 years, he's been on seven squads.
Yeah. He's a mercenary now.
You're right. Bags are packed.
Nonetheless, that is kind of the roundup for Major League Baseball today. Now, that being said, there was a deadline today that went by. And it was not inactive, to say the least. The NBA trade deadline passed at 12 o'clock our time. A slew of moves that took place. Some big names moving, including one last night. We'll get into that on the other side as we got a nice long 4-hour show for you on Gwen and Chris.
Hi, welcome back to the proceedings. We are proceeding. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby. Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Gave you the Padre update right off the top. John Seidler era begins immediately as the baseball owners unanimously confirm him as the point man to represent the Friars. But, you know, we haven't talked any NBA all season until this week. And now the NBA is dominating the sports landscape. And not only
on a pretty big week, too.
On a pretty big week, right. Somebody brought up an interesting thought. Remember the NBA or the NFL decided
Christmas
to play on Christmas, which has taken away the NBA's thunder because the Christmas Day used to belong to the NBA. The NBA is getting them back and then some.
Yeah.
Because this is Super Bowl week. And you can barely find coverage of the Super Bowl compared to, you know, the fallout from all of these NBA trades. So, you know, give the association a little credit. I mean, they've stolen the headlines on a week that is not easy to do that.
I think we have Chiefs fatigue and we have Chiefs Eagles fatigue. I was reading about this.
Whatever the ingredients, it has turned out to be exactly as Chris, whether it's fatigue, whether it's, you know, the second week of an off week for the NFL.
Whatever it is,
it has certainly played out that way.
Yeah, and, you know, it doesn't bother me. Jimmy Butler went to the Dubs last night. Was it last night? Yeah, it happened so quick. Yeah.
It was like
Butler
5:30.
Went to the Dubs, and so you guys were able to sneak it in before the end of the show.
Yes, and I got to rant about how the Warriors rewarded his bad behavior.
Well, okay. You know,
I didn't mean to stop the show.
No, but that's all right. He's not the first player ever to demand a trade.
No. I get that. I do.
So. I don't think it was the demanding the trade. It was It was being as much of a nuisance as possible so that they would hurry up and get you that
trade.
But
I'm a fan of Jimmy Buckets.
I am too.
First of all, I've always been a fan of his play. But secondly, he spent some of his off time courtside at an Aztec game. So,
yeah, I guess he gets a few points, but he should have been playing.
He left his teammates to dry. He left everyone to dry.
Did he get the Aztecs a little national attention? Yes, he did. Thank you, Jimmy Butler, for that.
Chris doesn't care.
Miami Heat.
He's selective in
the Miami Heat, I think, did okay.
True.
Considering the Heat had to trade him, I mean, I think getting Wiggins back, who's a great player. You know, gives Miami a solid return on their investment there. The Lakers made the move last night, and the guy they are going with is
Mark Williams. Yes.
The last time the Lakers saw Mark Williams, and now remember, he's a new Laker. The last time they saw him, Anthony Davis put up 42 points and 23 rebounds against him in a Laker-Charlotte game a couple of weeks ago.
That was, I believe, without LeBron. too.
Right. LeBron didn't play, and so Anthony Davis pretty much wrecked Mark Williams. Now, Mark Williams is not known for his defense, but he is known for his incredible and freakish, almost, athleticism, Tony.
Yeah.
He has a longer reach, from what I've read, than Wemby does.
Yeah, I think it's 7'7",
Are you kidding
seven,
me?
I think
Who
it
can
is?
Have a longer, you know, wingspan than Wemby?
Abraham Lincoln. Have you guys? I've told
I didn't
you
know
this.
That, that was hit me out of left field.
Yes, he was able to touch the back of his knee standing up.
All right,
that's crazy.
That's not. I didn't.
That's who Mark Williams is.
Okay, all right.
I will say I got a chance when I took my daughter.
Right, you
for
saw
her
him play up,
trip
up,
to GCU.
Up close.
I got a chance, and I had no idea who this dude was, but I know he was getting a lot of buckets. He was making it tough on the other end. Now the Suns don't have too much of a big presence in terms of the paint, but. I walked away impressed, and then I never forgot thought about it again until when his name popped up yesterday.
Right.
I was like, Mark Williams, that sound, name sounds familiar.
Well, he can definitely score,
yeah.
And like I said, freakish around the rim and rebounding, maybe blocking some shots, but as I said, not known for his lockdown defense, and nor is Luka Doncic. So, we'll see how that all works out, but I think the Lakers, with this, now say, you know what? The Doncic trade was for the future, etc., but... We're not punting on this season. I think the Lakers feel like this gives them a legit shot, to give it a run, Tony.
I'll okay putting Luka in the non-defense. I don't know enough about Williams to know whether he plays defense or not. We'll find out. But they certainly filled a open spot that was a glaring spot.
Yes, it was.
For this team this year. And I'm excited. I really am looking forward to seeing both LeBron and Luka and some of these new pieces on the floor.
I think it's going to be exciting.
I do, too.
See how it fits together.
I think across the league, like seeing these names, and what I'm learning is this last collective bargaining agreement has made it kind of change the strategy for teams. Remember, it was get two stars, then it was get three stars, and then kind of fill your roster out around. The thought now, because of these, what they call aprons in the luxury tax deal that they have, it may be more beneficial to have one max player and then fill your roster out around. And so I think you're starting to see those type of movements. These teams that got two, three stars are starting to kind of get themselves in position to kind of change how the roster is built. Moving forward.
By the way, if you're looking to circle a date on your NBA calendar, the date to circle, there's two of them, actually.
Yes. Is this Dallas, LA right
here? Yes, you've got February 25th, which is only a couple of weeks away. The two teams will meet in LA.
Yeah.
But probably even better is the final week of the season, April 9th at Dallas.
Yeah.
And there are people saying that Luka is going to try to put 100
he might.
Up on the Mavericks just for trading him when he goes back to Dallas.
I love the fact that when he had his press conference, we found out that he was quite hurt that he got traded. Because that usually for athletes chip on the shoulder.
It's good for you guys. Yes. DeAndre Hunter, pretty good score.
Atlanta.
From Atlanta.
Used to be to Atlanta.
He was traded today. Where'd he end up going, Tom? I'm
trying to find it
just
right
lost
now.
The page that I was on here. He went to
the Cleveland.
Cavaliers.
Yeah.
And the Cavaliers are trying. Look, Cleveland knows that they have the best record, but they also know that Boston's better than they are. And they have to do something to try and see if they can track down
this
Boston.
This is a move for that right
That's
here.
That's absolutely
Hunter,
right.
Hunter is a guy that can guard Tatum. He's long.
He'll try to guard him. Yeah.
That's what I meant. He'll try to guard Tatum. But this is you start getting the bodies that you need, right? Mm-hmm. It's about depth as you get into the postseason because that's a long journey from that first round to the final. So
the one thing that I think is going to be incredibly interesting is you look at all the trades, and there were a few more today involving lesser known players. But as you look at all the trades, almost every good player in these trades went to the Western Conference. Almost every single one.
Yeah.
Now, Jimmy Butler comes to the Warriors. De'Aaron Fox comes to the Spurs. Luka, Lakers. On and on this goes. And you look around the Western Conference, Tony. Right now, either De'Aaron Fox and Wemby are going to miss the playoffs. Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler are going to miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
And if they don't miss it, then KD and the Suns are going to miss it,
yep.
Or Sacramento is going to miss it, or Dallas is going to miss it, or Minnesota.
Those teams are all 7 through the end.
Yeah,
right?
They can't all make it. I mean, the Lakers are in pretty darn good shape right now. They got a 5-game spread, but the Clippers aren't. They're only 3 ahead of the Warriors. Anyway, if you look at the standings in the West, my point is there's at least 2 or 3 teams that are going to make all these moves and not going to make it. Because there's just not going to be room for everybody.
There was like a 1-2 year gap where the Eastern Conference had kind of closed the gap on the Western Conference.
No, the gap is wide.
It seems like it's getting wide again.
Yeah.
With all these players moving from East to West. There was another big trade. Brandon Ingram goes from the Pelicans.
He goes
from the Western Conference to the Eastern Conference.
Well, but what is Toronto trying to make a run here? They're 25 games behind. I mean, I didn't really understand. I guess
it's a futuristic move.
Yeah,
right
I didn't really. Totally get that one, but yeah, it was a big name that moved. Look, the NBA, I can't wait to tune in and watch a few games all of a sudden.
Yeah.
After a long stretch of not really caring at all.
Interesting how the ratings are down, and then all of a sudden all these trades happen.
I know. It's got to be a conspiracy. Nobody.
So Adam Silver basically made all these trades. He made them all.
He said, hey, you guys need to move this guy here. This is what we need to happen.
He didn't tell them that they had to do it. He just did it.
It just is very interesting to me that we were talking about the ratings being the lowest it's been in the NBA for a long time, and then all of a sudden now people care again.
I do think we have to untrain ourselves as it pertains to ratings because of how it's consumed
nowadays.
I think that's
fair to say.
And because I think we all go into it and we look at the TV and it's like, oh, you only had this many people. But into 2025, there is just way too many ways to view it. And so it may not be on the television. It may not be doing it justice. So it may not be the conspiracy that you want it to be.
Scared. How much does Adam Silver pay you to say that?
I wish I had a
salary. I wish we had a little, yeah. Be nice to get a piece of that. The one thing that I've disagreed with, and I'm going to just say it one last time before the trade deadline kind of is gone now. ESPN... and that's kind of where I go to get a feel for what everyone's thinking. And they gave grades to all the teams on all the trades, and I went down and looked through it.
Oh, this is the Dallas grade?
Dallas?
This is ridiculous.
Let's be honest.
That doesn't make any sense.
That is not right. That is absolutely not right. I know Doncic is what he is, but Anthony Davis is also what he is. It is not a great trade for 5 years from now for Dallas. But I still contend.
And maybe that's how they're grading.
I just think giving them an F is completely unfair. Yeah, I think Anthony Davis is too good of a player to just give a team an F for acquiring him.
Yeah.
So, we'll see how.
A D minus? I mean, what would you have graded it?
At least a B. B minus at the worst.
You're getting rid of the generational player that apparently everybody keeps telling me you'll never see again in Dallas.
Okay, fine. You can. First of all, I think an F is beyond.
Like, okay, maybe an F is too much.
I give you a C, right?
Okay.
But I'm okay with that if you're willing to go back to this and address it.
Yes, I better change the grade if Dallas makes a run this year.
Being able to get to a final.
I know one thing. I'm sending Anthony Davis that article.
For sure.
Pasting it up in his locker.
I'm sure he saw it. He seems like the type that would have seen it. So.
I mean, you're telling me that I'm coming to a new team and you're giving me an F? That guy's, he can put 30 and 20 on you in a hurry. So, all right, when we come back, the Aztecs, as Tony mentioned, are off this week. They do return to action Saturday at Colorado State, but over the weekend, a big win over Wyoming, and they honored the great Theodore, Ted Leitner.
Theodore!
And he is going to join the show when we come back. So we'll catch up with Ted. He's always got some fun stuff to say.
Theodore Leitner will join us shortly. Just got an interesting banner across my iPad, and we'll have to hold to get to this a little bit later. But if the banner reads, and this is an article in The Athletic written by Evan Drellich and Andrew Merchant, if ESPN opts out of TV deal, MLB warns it could walk away. The little excerpt goes on to say Major League Baseball is warning that it could walk away from ESPN if the network opts out of their national TV deal next month.
What does that mean, walk away from the network? Won't allow any games to be shown on ESPN anymore?
No, it just means that the negotiations for a new deal, they would basically say, we're done with you, ESPN. We're not going to renegotiate.
So is there a possibility this year they're not on ESPN? Because ESPN already named the schedule.
I think after this year.
Okay, that makes sense then. That's not a lot of time to put together a package for this.
Opt in for the following year in a month.
This is the last year.
If they don't, MLB is threatening that we won't have a new negotiation. We'll just open it a bidder. Now, it's certainly possible ESPN could say, all right, let's see. Let's call your bluff. I don't know if ESPN's in a position to do that. I think they've kind of lost out on some things here as of late.
What are you talking about, TGL?
Well, yeah, TGL isn't going too well.
No. Yeah, stop making us watch that, will you, please?
The ratings are getting worse each and every week.
You put it on there every Tuesday and Wednesday night, I'm like,
I don't even know if streaming can help TGL at this point. Nah, now, I will say, I do find it interesting that this comes out on the same day that Rob Manfred is also teasing about the fact that he's been receiving letters from fans in terms of a salary cap and the unfairness of the Dodgers. So he's kind of got it a business kind of deals kind of approaching here, and he's getting kind of little salvos out early.
All right, well, if he's reading the fan mail, I'll send him something, okay? I will let him know what's on my mind if he's reading the fan mail.
Clearly he said he is. So if you get anything,
can you imagine him sitting like crisscross applesauce in a room opening letters from fans? He's never touched or seen a letter from a fan.
He's seen one, man. He's seen it.
Okay.
He's seen it.
As long as he's sitting crisscross applesauce.
You can't say it the other way.
You put the apple before the cart if you do it that way.
Yes, and then you smash the apple.
Chris, I mean,
yes.
How do you feel about this?
And I'm a little, I'm confused, honestly. I don't know why ESPN or why Major League Baseball would want to walk away from anything ESPN.
Yeah.
That's what, and that combined with the fact that all of the local teams are having problems with their own TV rights
and
deals.
That's what I mean.
It's very confusing to me.
That's why I mean ESPN could call their bluff and say, all right, let's see what you got.
You walk away, then where are they going to go?
We'll see.
So,
all right, let's couch this for now and bring on one of our favorites. Ted Leitner has been gracious enough to join us here today. Ted, Theodore, how are you, my friend? Oh,
we dropped him.
We're going to have to get him back on.
Apparently not everybody's equipment works perfectly every single time, Scraby. How do you like that? Even your equipment messes up from time to time.
I think that was
Issue. Oh, I know. Every time something goes wrong with him, it's something else. But when it goes wrong with me, it's my fault.
He's on your head about
He's
it.
He's on it every time, yeah.
All right, let's try it again. We are lucky. Very lucky to be joined by one of our favorites. Ted Leitner joins us. Theodore, how are you, my friend?
Guys, how are things? And okay on this end, and you sound great. Love listening to you on the fan and all that good stuff.
Theodore, I got to ask you, man, you had a pretty cool ceremony last week at the VAS Arena. You had a bunch of players in town to see it. I mean, I know it's bittersweet for you because I know you love doing what you have had the opportunity to do for a very long time. But how did it make you feel seeing these guys come back and just going through that ceremony?
Play-by-play to me, T, you know, is like David Letterman used to say, it's most fun you can have with your clothes on, and that's a fact. And you know what got me that I did not know? Because, you know, when you're standing on the court and you can't see above you where they were having clips from Coach Fisher, Coach Dutch, and myself, I couldn't hear that stuff in the echo of the arena. So I didn't get a chance to really see much or hear much. So I saw a tweet or an X post, whatever, that said from an Aztec fan that said, what got me was the players after they had all been introduced, the alumni who had come back. Shake, you know, Adam Seiko and X Thames and all these and Nolan Lorraine and all these guys, that they were all standing there and applauding me and smiling and like that. And I thought that's what touched me the most, that those guys who gave me so much pleasure in watching them play, and some of them in an astounding way, like X and Adam Seiko, That touched me, I think, more than anything, in addition to the fact that Coach Fisher was there and on the video along with Dutch. It was a wonderful, wonderful night. I've not had many things like that. I've had them with the Padres at the end of my career, which was wonderful. And, of course, their Hall of Fame induction ceremony with the great, late Larry Lucchino. But this one with the Aztecs was my best Aztec evening of all time.
Ted Leitner's with us, and you know, I mean, these you guys don't remember any of this. I'm talking to Tony and Scraby, but I mean, I was really introduced to you watching you on Channel 8 making fun of hockey fights, and you know that I love that from the very beginning, right? I mean, this I moved to San Diego to go to San Diego State, and I mean, Ted Leitner was my source for sports, and you know, just the fact that you would sit there night after night without a script and do these sports reports, and then you know the radio shows, and then the Chargers and the Padres and the World Series and the Aztecs and the Final Four, and I'm thinking, your baseball card, the back of your baseball card has a whole lot of stuff on it, Ted. I you don't want to look back. You know, you still got to look ahead. There's a lot of good life for you, but you got to be pretty proud of what you've been able to accomplish.
You know, I wasn't then because I was younger and stupid. I look at it now, and I'm overwhelmed by it. I never expected it. In fact, I had an exchange of texts with my former news director, Jim Holtzman, at Channel 8, who was greatly, greatly responsible for my career and for everything I have in San Diego, certainly in this particular community. And it's true, I didn't appreciate it at the time. Like many, I think many young people, you don't stop to smell the roses. But I look back at it now, and part of that was it has been Twitter/X. And seeing comments from people that just, you can't buy that. It's just unbelievable. One of my favorites, and I don't mean to pat myself on the back, it's just to show you what I'm talking about, was a family that had texted me, or rather not texted me, but gone on online back when it was Twitter, called Twitter, and said, we were on vacation in Santa Barbara. And we got in the car at the end of the vacation to drive home to San Diego. And we got in the car, we put on the Padre game. And there was Uncle Teddy's voice. And my husband looked at me and said, hey, it's Uncle Teddy. It's like we're already home. And
yeah.
That touched me, that kind of stuff. And I listened to it with my grandfather and father. They're both gone now. But I hear your voice and I think of them. And I've had people come up to me traveling with the Aztecs, one in Fort Collins after the Colorado State game last year, with tears in his eyes, saying the same thing, that every time I hear your voice, I think of my dad, and he's gone now. And I want to thank you for that memory. And I never expected things like that, that you have an impact like that. You're just doing sports. It's, you know, the fun and games department, as Howard Cosell used to call it, and it is. It's not serious, though it has some serious ramifications. But I've been so blessed now to be old enough to appreciate every single minute of that. And when I went to the Padre playoff games again this year, I mean, it took me 40 minutes to get to my seat with people stopping me and wanting to do selfies and telling me thank you for all the memories. And I'm thinking, no, it's the Padres, it's the players, it's the organization that brought you those teams. I was just reporting them. But no, it impacts in ways you don't know, and I'm so grateful.
Theodore Leitner joins us, San Diego's greatest broadcaster. And Ted, I tell you all the time, you're the voice that kind of shaped baseball for me as a young kid. And like Chris, I got a chance to see you wear so many different hats. You anchored a sports show. You did the football. You did the baseball. You did the basketball. Out of all of it, what was your sweet spot? Which one did you feel most home doing?
Wow. It started out, great question, T. It started out because I was a football guy and a basketball guy from my past with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State and Connecticut and all that stuff. And so it was football, basketball, baseball. And I was late to baseball and I didn't know enough about baseball. And once again, I've been so lucky. I had Jerry Coleman. First, I had Dave Campbell and Bob Chandler to teach me baseball, because you think you know baseball,
yeah.
Like you played, that's different. But all the nuances and all the making judgments on the fly, interference, obstruction, what is it, all those things, it takes time. You can read the rule book, which I did, but to implement them, bang, 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 as they happen, it takes time to do that. And I had guys who would never correct me on the air, make me look bad. They would tell me during the commercial, hey, you said this, and when that happens, and oh, thanks, Bob, thanks, Dave. And I just had lunch with Soupy, with Dave Campbell, who was 83 last week. Wow. Oh, it can't be happening.
Yeah.
Soupy's 83. And thanked him again and again and again, as I have all these guys. that I had these partners who had played baseball. They knew everything, and they taught me and brought me along. So by the time I got done, especially after the internet with all the information and great stories and what have you, and history of the game, that my favorites at the end were ordered as in baseball, basketball, football, as opposed to when I first started to answer that question. But to have all three, like you said, and the variety of talk shows on radio and the different sports of play-by-play, football, basketball, baseball, and sports, looking in that camera and being able to talk to people, I'm just, like I said, didn't remember, understand then, and I am so, so happy and grateful for it now.
You know, just imagine how good a radio sports talk show you could have done, Ted, if you had brought some notes with you into the studio. I mean, there's no telling what you could have accomplished.
I understand that, but that brings up something. That brings up something that I try to defend myself with, because I was ad-libbing the television. I would tell the director, I'm going to talk about the Padres, and then I'll do the basketball highlights, and then an interview with Coach Hoke or whatever it was back then. But somebody wrote a magazine article about me in San Diego one time, and she said mistakenly, he never prepares for a broadcast. Now, see, there's two different things here.
Yeah, that's
there's
not true.
Ad-libbing.
Right.
Right. There's ad-libbing, and there's preparing your you-know-what off, so you have all that crammed in there to when you ad-lib, you'll have those facts. You'll have that information. So, yeah, you can ad-lib, but if you don't prepare, I don't care who you are,
right,
you're going to ad-lib a bunch of gibberish and nonsense. You guys know that because you prep for this show every single day. You're thinking about it during the day. You're thinking about it at night. Sometimes in my sleep, I would think about, what am I going to do tomorrow morning on the 7:15 Sport on radio with Hudson and Bauer? What am I going to do on the first segment on Channel 8 tomorrow and doing that and then going to look stuff up and what have you? So you have to prepare. Oh, you can't ad-lib, but everybody thought I just showed up and it came pouring out like a word hemorrhage, as I call it.
Yeah.
Theodore,
I
got to ask you, we kind of put it out there yesterday that you were coming on a show, and one of our listeners that we both know, Michael Brunker, sent me a text. He wanted me to ask you a specific question. It's the 40th anniversary of the 1985 state basketball team that went to the NCAA tournament. This was before Steve Fisher's run. He just asked for a few comments about that team and the infamous Smoky Gaines.
Oh, man. We only got 10 minutes left. We only got 10 minutes in the segment.
Yeah, that's right. When does this day run out? My favorite with Smokey, and I happened to be there at that practice, that we're going first time, that team was going to Laramie, 7,200 feet, and the altitude and all that stuff, and the dryness of the altitude. Just people don't understand, the Mountain West is so tough to travel and play in that altitude. And Smokey, listen to him. You're going to talk about altitude? He said, oh, yeah, I'm going to talk about it. And then during the practice, I'm standing there while they're all around him, and he says, hey, listen, this altitude stuff you're hearing about, 7,000 feet at Laramie, knock it out of your mind. Don't even give it a thought, because the gym is pressurized like a jet plane. Yes. And I'm watching him, and I'm trying not to laugh out loud, and all the players are shaking their head. Good, good, good thing. So you won't feel it, man. Just like you don't feel it. You don't feel you're at 33,000 feet when you're flying, right? No. You're not going to feel it. You're not going to feel it on Saturday night. That's my man. That's my man. And somebody would get one rebound and the same old. One rebound, that's one more than a dead man. That's Smokey Gaines. God rest his soul. I loved him so much. And he was just an amazing, amazing guy to be around. And I, more than so many that I've been blessed to travel with Smokey and with Aztecs and with Steve Fisher. My God, a man of such dignity and class and accomplishment. Why he's not yet in the Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts, I don't know. But they got to stop, don't do this like with Don Coryell till the man's not here anymore. Get it done. And now Dutch takes over for a pair of shoes, a pair of 16 double E's type shoe, and takes them even further to the Final Four and the national championship game. And I've been on the periphery of this in the vapor trail. Larry Lucchino used to say, I'm in a vapor trail of all these important and interesting people. And the same thing with me. And it's been just wonderful to be with all these people. It's just awesome.
This year's team, Ted, the Aztecs, great start. I think that they are ahead of where we all thought they would be. But how much fun? I mean, you did the Final Four, but I mean, what they're doing again now, it just got to be great. Do you think these guys can they pull it off here? They got a lot of tough games left.
No question. And they can't afford many, if any, you know, a couple of more losses. And, you know, the idea of no NCAA for San Diego State University Aztecs, along with Gonzaga, the powerhouse of West Coast basketball. It ain't UCLA. Look at the numbers for the last decade and a half. It's not. It goes Gonzaga, San Diego State, exactly, in terms of winning percentage, record, everything. And that would be quite a shock, young team or not. And I think what happened, we got deked. Because I thought going to that NIL Player Fest, you know, with Creighton nationally ranked and Houston nationally ranked and even better, and Oregon, which was, I knew, going to be ranked, having watched the tapes of them in preparing for my broadcast. And I thought, you know, they may go there and lose all three games, or rather two games. They may lose three, they may lose two out of three games because they may not be ready yet with all this marvelous young talent and the best group of freshmen I can remember in ages. And they surprise us because that coaching staff had them so good so early that they go out and beat Creighton and beat sixth ranked at the time, Houston. But now they're not playing like that. And still play Aztec defense, but they foul too much, don't get to the line enough, get the other team to the line too much. And then they had a rebounding problem for some times that goes and comes back, and now a shooting problem. So we thought in November, wow, they're going to imagine how great they're going to be come January. And they weren't. But they sure had them ready early for that tournament, which was huge because they picked up, you know, $1,150,000 for NIL to kick these great young freshmen like Farrow and DeGorville and Goon. So the future is so bright, but I'm surprised that they didn't, you know, continue that with continuity. But like Dutch says, young players make mistakes and you don't know what you're going to get. But I've still enjoyed the ride because they're Aztec players. And for an old guy like me to be around kids who are 19, 20, but they're like old souls. All they think about is winning. I don't care how many minutes I get. You know, guys, in all my life with the Aztecs, this is year number 30 in basketball, I've never had one player, even off the record, say, hey, Ted, off the record, but I should be playing more. I'm better than that guy. And that guy, it doesn't exist. And that's so rare nowadays with players. I want to shoot the three. I want to dunk. I want to be the star. They don't exist with Aztec people. That's the way they recruit them. That's the way the seniors teach the freshmen. It's such a phenomenon. And I've been so blessed to see these kids and quite frankly, love them. You know, like my own kids, because they are such great kids and terrific players that kind of attitude, once again, you can't buy it. Fisher did it. Dutcher does it. And I'm so grateful to be along with it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think the proof is in the pudding. As you mentioned, those numbers right behind Gonzaga in almost all the categories over the last 10 years. Theodore, man, listen, we're going to savor getting to hear your voice on these basketball games as long as we can, man. We miss you. We're going to miss you. And we're not going to miss you because we'll have you on the show here very so often.
I told him he has to come on.
I appreciate it.
We're not going to let him fly away.
No, not at all. Theodore, you enjoy yourself, man. Thank you for coming on.
Hey, T. And Chris, Scraby, all you guys, I appreciate it so much. It's a warm and fuzzy feeling. And when I look back, it's just, I did that? Me? I did that? And all that was from opportunities, from people who took me under their wing and taught me and gave me break after break after break. And I'm a lucky old broadcaster. That's all. Thank you, boys.
Thanks, Ted.
Thank you, Theodore. Ted Leitner. San Diego's greatest broadcaster of all time.
I think that's right.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any question about it.
Not a lot of argument there.
No. So. Let's get to break so we can get out on time. And when we return, we'll have a daily gambit on the other side. We got some eBay news. Scraby's happy to deliver this one.
The quickest moving trial of all time.
Work winning Chris on the other side.